So I have some things if you want to, if you don't mind to pass those out, give one to each one. I talked this morning about five smooth stones that King David used before he was king, which he was ready to throw at Goliath with his slingshot. So we talked about righteousness and talked about this morning about you have to be born to be righteous. We used some scriptures. And then I said we were going to, you know, identify our five smooth stones that you can carry around. Now, this is just a few scriptures, but these are the ones that I like that we will get. And what I thought was interesting, too, what I learned from studying this, was those smooth stones were tried by David, and he knew they were going to work. They were tested. They were proved. He killed a lion. Can you imagine a lion? That would be pretty significant with a slingshot and a stone. So this was a boy that knew what he was doing. This was a deadly weapon that he was using. And a bear. If you've ever seen one of those bears on television, I mean, those things are huge. They're monstrous. But he tried them. And they killed a bear, they killed a lion, we don't know what else. But he knew when he had his smooth stones. And I was thinking that's a lot like the scriptures. These scriptures I'm going to give you, I want them to become proved, tried, and tested in your life. So that when you begin to throw them at the devil, that devil backs down. That when he sees you pick up that stone and you sling your slingshot at him and you let it go and that word starts to come out of your mouth, it isn't just, well, I hope this is going to work. I mean, that's what I used to do when I first learned faith. You know, by his stripes I am healed. Just as meek and mild, you know, it wouldn't have moved anything. It wouldn't have, you know, made an ant leave the building. But I just kept at it. I just kept at the word. I kept putting it in my heart, listening to teaching. Stop listening to teaching that's not faith. No matter how good and juicy it is, if they tell you we don't know the will of God, just say, well, thank you very much. Get out of it what you can and move on. Because your life could depend on it. Your life could depend on what you listen to. But get those stones and just prove them so that when you use them, it's not something you're just trying, like just throwing Kleenex up in the air. You know, by his stripes, I am healed. If that doesn't work, you know, we'll try something else. Let's try this one. No, it's got to be a stone. It can't be a Kleenex that you're throwing at the devil. So, you know, I told you about how we started out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we went to Rhema Bible School. And when we got there, we went to a church after a while, pastored by a fellow, Buddy Harrison. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. FCF Church. And so they had a young man there that was teaching on staff. And he was a little funny. He was just different. But we loved his message. He started teaching on who you are in Christ. And he taught every Friday night. So there was a bunch of us from Pittsburgh. And so we just went every Friday night to hear this young man preach. And so on occasion, he'd bring another fellow up from Texas, Mark Hankins, tall Texan. And he also had this teaching on who you are in Christ. All these scriptures. He'd go to England and get Bibles. And he'd say, look up different translations of all these scriptures. And we just loved it. We were so hungry for what this man brought. You know, and unfortunately, you know, he, as things happen, he kind of got a little bit out there. And the church kind of disbanded. And we moved on, and we started to pastor a church. But we never forgot this man's message. Never forgot. It went into our hearts. But, you know, I went through some things. We started this church in 7 years. It was a blessing, but it took up a lot of our time, and we kind of got out of the Word. So my husband passed away. Sickness came on, and we quoted the Word, but the Word was not in our heart. It was not a smooth stone. So I know what I'm talking about. And I prayed, and God said, go on the road, travel and teach. I left my job at Rhema, and I started out traveling and teaching. And I had had a job of putting people into ministry when I worked at Rhema. And so we were pastoring, the church was small, so I worked a job as well. We both worked. So, you know, it was good because I knew a lot of people on the road. I knew a lot of pastors. So I'd call them up and they'd give me meetings, and that's how I got started. So I started out, began teaching. I took my son with me. I took my daughters with me. It was fun. It was exciting. I've loved every minute of this. I mean, when I started, I would probably ask people how much they'd charge. What would you charge for me to come to your church? I thought about it. I'll pay you. I'm just getting started. And I've loved every minute. I just get excited. As long as I know that God is sending me, I pray now a lot more about where I'm to go. And I just know I was supposed to come here. I know I'm supposed to hook up with these people. I know that I pray for them frequently, often, and pray for you as well, because God's going to do something here. But after about 15 years, I guess it was, I started in 97. The end of the 90s, it might not have been 15. It was before David came with me in 2001. And I just started to get discouraged. You know, I started out when I was 48, so I was 58. I knew that you were going to pick it up. I'm sorry. 48, 58. I was probably heading in my early 60s. And, of course, I feel young. You know, I do. I feel like I'm about 40. Well, some days I feel a little older than that. But in the early morning, I feel 40. But I just started to get kind of discouraged. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there or not. You head toward the end of your life, and I just had not accomplished what I thought I should have. I was so far behind. I thought that by now I'd be on the radio, that I have a full schedule of meetings. You know, that everything would just be going well. I'd have a lot of money in the bank. I'd be, you know, well-known. And none of those things were true in my life. Plus the fact, you know, being a woman, you know, that always adds another dimension to things whenever you're a woman preacher. Because I'd go places and people would say, well, they're not coming tonight, you know, because of you. So that always makes you feel really good, you know, but... But you just go on, because I know God called me, and I settled that a long time ago. There's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do about the fact. I can change everything else, but I cannot change that. So I was just thinking about maybe quitting. Because I'm getting close, and I need to get a plan here maybe to come off the road. Because then you have your family that's also telling you, well, you're getting kind of old. How long are you going to do this? You know, they look at you like this. And my friends and family that from the East, they always say, now, what is it that you do? You know, just that tortured look on their face. Like, can't you get a real job? Well, we would feel good about you. You know, you need a pension plan. You need, you know, an insurance to carry you. You need an old age home, you know, to go to. And I started to think about things. It was a terrible time in my life. I'd go to the meetings, I'd sit in the back, I'd leave early. I stopped fellowshipping with my friends. I started to think, well, you know, nobody really wants to fellowship with me. I'm getting older. I was just really woebegone. Have you ever been there? You just come into the back of church and just get up and leave. You just sneak in and sneak back out. Because things were just not going the way that you want to in your life. And I was driving along, and I remember I was on I-40 in Arkansas. And maybe you've been there, I don't know. Traveling. It's the most boring road, I think, in the world. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "You forgot who you are." I'll never forget. I thought, I just brightened up. I thought, that's right. I thought about all this teaching that we'd been through. That was probably 5 or 6 years. We sat under this man. We sat under this teaching. Maybe 4 years. But it was enough that we'd gotten it through to us. And this guy was called to preach this message. Brother Hagin was called to preach faith. But he would just talk about this, who you are. I thought, that's right. I forgot who I was. I had started to look at me. And it's so easy to do. And On occasion, I slip back into that same thing. If you start looking at yourself, you're done. You'll never get where you're going. Because you start being sin consciousness instead of righteousness conscious. You forget you were born again to win. You forget that you were a new creature in Christ. You forget that old things were passed away and that all things were made new. You start to forget those things. I began to look. All I could see was all the things in my life that were bad. That's all I could see. I could find nothing about myself that was redeeming at the time. Everything was negative. And once you start down that track, once people start down that track, it's really hard to get them out of that. We talk about prescription drugs and people that are depressed, people that are bipolar, they're schizophrenic. On these drugs, I don't know, a huge percentage of people are taking mood enhancers. And it's all because they really can't stand who they are and there is no hope. Maybe a marriage didn't work out. Maybe they were incarcerated. Maybe they're in a job they hate, in a marriage they hate, estranged from their kids, estranged from everything. Maybe their parents, you know, abused them growing up. Maybe they were in an abusive situation with someone. And these things are nigh on to impossible in the natural to get people through them. All the best the world can offer is a pill. So that your mood will be the same. You'll have no highs and you'll have no lows. You'll just get up and you'll drone through the day, but you won't want to quit. You won't want to commit suicide. You'll be able to face yourself and have a certain amount of sanity. And the only answer is this message that we're teaching, that I have found. I started thinking about what the Word said. I said, I've been looking at me. I haven't been looking at the Word. The Word says I'm more than a conqueror. The Word says I will always triumph. The Word says that God loves me. The Word says that God is on my side. The Word said if God is on my side. And all these scriptures came rolling back into my head. And fortunate for me, at that very same time, Mark Hankin started to have ministers' conferences down in his church in Louisiana. I got something through the mail. I thought, I'm going to that meeting. And I've been there ever since. I walked in the door, and it's just like, oh, the Spirit of God just came upon me. And I wasn't even happy at the meeting. Everybody was running around. You know, his meetings are a little crazy. You know, people get drunk in the Holy Ghost, and they fall down everywhere. Oh, it's wonderful. Run around the room. He walks on the chairs, you know, just getting into the Holy Ghost. It's great. But I just sat there. I was so far down the rung of where I had been before. But I started back again. I started back again. I started to make it a habit every day of saying those scriptures. Even if I only got one said out of my mouth. Getting out of this depression. Did everything change? No. But I changed. I changed. And shortly after that, my son started to travel with me. We began to rebuild the ministry. I reincorporated. We started to come up with all these plans. And now we have a great ministry with about 65 or 70 partners. I've got 7 people on our board. We're reaching out. David has more meetings than he can go to. And I'm out there still, you know, at 73. I'm just geared up. I'm ready to go on the mission field. I want to go overseas. And it's all because of these words that will just change your life. You know, you can make it a point. You can end up, you know, putting together little doilies, and they'll put little paper hats on you and pick you up on a bus and take you someplace where you can sit all day and make pencils or carve little things. Or you can have the life of God inside of you, and you can live in your own house, and you can be right on the front lines of everything until the day you decide you want to go home to be with the Lord. And don't we want that to be the way? How can we get old when we got God's life inside of us? Our hair grows gray. You know, we have wrinkles. We do slow down somewhat, but a lot of it's just wisdom. You know, when you're young, you just wear yourself out running around. When you get older, you just don't do that anymore. Say, I've driven all night. I know what that's like. I'm not going to do that anymore. So you're at home in bed at 10 o'clock, you know. I've done all those things. And praise the Lord. I just cannot tell you how wonderful life can be with Christ. You know how that you started with faith. How many started with faith believing for healing and you were taught, don't look at the sickness. Don't look at the sickness. Look at the word. Now, does anybody know that? You've done that? You apply that in your life, right? You stop looking at the headaches, the eyes, the doctor's report. You keep your eyes fastened on the word of God that says, by his stripes, I am healed. You stop looking at your bank book. I mean, you have to look at your bank book to get a balance. You know, you have to bring it up online every time. But it doesn't throw you. Let's say I've got, you know, $250 in there. But Lord, more is coming. It doesn't make you just so discouraged. Even if you bounce a check. You should get to the point where you say, well, praise the Lord. Man, I hate that I did that. But it's not the end of the world. Because I know a God who will supply my needs according to his riches in glory. Thank God he never runs out of money. If he runs out of money, then we're in trouble. Well, see, on the same basis, you don't take your own opinion of yourself. What you see, feel, hear, or think, you begin to take what the word says about you. It was a revelation. The word says that as far as the east is from the west, he's taken our transgressions from us. The word says he loves you. He thinks that you are the best thing that ever happened. And the knowledge of that, the true knowledge, knowing that God loves you, changes your whole life. Then it doesn't matter if people talk about you. Well, it matters a little bit, but people are going to talk about you. People are going to say things that are going to offend you, especially if you really are living a life for Christ. If you're really witnessing to your family, to your friends, you're going to irritate a lot of people. People don't like that when you're happy, and they're not. The world is a big clique, and they love it whenever you are just like they are. Oh, it's so bad. And you say, but the weather's nice. You say, yeah, but it's going to rain tomorrow. They will not let you get anything good in life. What about this election? Sometimes I just like to have fun. You know, you talk with people that are not believers, and you can just kind of get them going. And then you try to tell them about the Lord, you know. I don't know if I should do that or not. But what about this election? What about this? If you want to get people riled up, just start talking about that. If you want to get people riled up, just start talking about the things that are going on locally. The world is programmed negative. And here you come along. Then praise God. God is good. God is blessing me. Just got a new house. We got a new car. Kids are doing good. They just hate that. They don't like it. But we have to go and do this anyway. We have to witness. We have to tell people about Christ. I try not to be like real happy or gloating about things that come along, because we've been so blessed in these last years. Everybody's well. The grandchildren are well. My children are in a better place than they've ever been. They've all got good jobs. Our partners are blessed. They're all making money. Whenever the market went down, they lost just a little bit. A couple of people lost a little bit. It's just wonderful. It's a blessed life that you can live. But then it's our job to go, you know, and tell other people. But let's go into a couple of scriptures here tonight. I want to show you our first stone. I gave you this smooth stone number one. And I mention this because you want to make it smooth by use, so that when you have this scripture, you can say it every day. Make it a part of your confession. Let's look at 1 John 4:4. Make it a part of your confession every day. As you go about, you know, getting ready for the day. I have a certain period of time when I go over scriptures. I plead the blood of Jesus. Put on the armor of God. Pray for my family. And then I just begin as a ritual to just say these scriptures, and then through the day. So 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So we see now that what is being said here is that Satan has been defeated. The greater one, God, lives in you, and it's greater than the devil. So that's just a fact. That God is greater than the devil. Now, not to say that Satan doesn't have power. We used to have a lady that I knew, and she used to say, you know, Satan has no more power than that bug against the wall. And I knew that was wrong. But she really believed it. Satan hath power. But what did Jesus say? I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise harm you. The power that we have right now through Christ is greater than that which is operating out in the world. Anything. There's no storms or tornadoes or hurricanes or plagues or diseases or bankruptcies or financial things that are greater than God. Isn't that wonderful news? So God has called us to subdue the enemy and rise up and stop him in the name of Jesus. It's just as simple as that. And you do that by saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as you begin to say this, I'll tell you what, it'll help you to get out of debt. It'll help you with addictions of all kinds. Things that are trying to take over you. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's lack. Maybe it's bad temper. You know, all these things that come into our lives. And we think that it's stronger than us. It doesn't matter what it is that tries to come into your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, Brother Hagin used to tell us, as we were students, he would talk about, some member of his family who'd come after him and begin to taunt him and harass him about being a Christian. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but it's not fun if you have somebody that you know or like who's come against you because of you being a Christian. But when he was talking to this man, he said he just started saying under his breath, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Meditating on that, knowing that. If you get into a situation, the knowledge of that will help you to rise up. And he'd say afterwards, a man came back to him and says, I am so sorry. He just kept saying it. He said, please forgive me for coming against you. And it worked. Just the knowledge that the power of God inside of you, emanating out of you, is greater than anything. We get those tornadoes in Oklahoma. And so, we come against the tornadoes the minute it comes. The minute I see it coming, I said, you're not coming here. At first, I used to tell it to go up. I said, just go up to another town. Well, then the town would be wiped out, Everything would be destroyed. See, I didn't pick a certain town. I wasn't doing that. But I just, don't come here. Just go somewhere else, And then I felt bad. So I thought, well, what am I going to pray? And then it came to me, just pray that it falls apart. Well, now that made sense to me. So you'll see that. This thing, tornadoes just weakened over Tulsa. Because I'll tell you what, it's scary. They have those down to, they call street spotters. And they say, this tornado is now at the corner of, 101st and Elm. And you feel your heart beating. Really? Even though you have authority over it. The sirens go off. All the channels are on this eye of this tornadoes that come through there. And you better know who you are. You better be able to stand up to it. I really couldn't do that at first. When we had our church in Okmulgee, it was quite funny because the people in our church, it was a town over, and a tornado came in and ripped out everything. People in our church. One couple was praying the 91st Psalm, and one was pleading the blood. And both of the houses were spared. But other than that, the whole town went down and under. So we came down that following Sunday. So I had the kids. I taught the kids and youth and So I had them in the back, and I was preaching about how you don't have to be afraid now, kids, of tornado. We have power. We have authority over all those things. You just stand up to it, and you just say, in the name of Jesus, tornado, you be removed. And we were kind of new to the area, hadn't had a real experience. See, that's why you have to prove. You got to prove things. You got to prove that the word works. You got to prove that whenever you're speaking healing, that tumor is going to disappear. It's tried and it's tested. So I hadn't tried and tested this yet, because everybody left the building, and as was our habit, every Sunday we would go for pizza. So our family was there waiting, you know, three kids. My older daughter was married. And this lady came back. And she said, I just want you to know there's a tornado headed straight here for Okmulgee. Now, the Indians said that the tornadoes never came to Okmulgee, so they never worried. But this one, she said, it's headed straight here. You better take cover. And, of course, what was the first thing out of my mouth? Yeah. Where do we go? Woman of faith and power. Where is it? Where do we go? So my husband, he said, we'll be all right. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, just, you know, there's got to be one around all the time. Oh, no, where is that school? So he says, nope, we're going to go have pizza. So we walked into the pizza place, and the owner of the pizza place said, now if something happens, we're all going in the freezer. So I'm saying, now where's the freezer? I'm ready to go in the freezer. My stone was not tried and proved yet, but my husband's was. And he was always looking out, you know. So where's Dad? He's up on the roof looking for the tornado, you know. So Dave says, well, he says, as long as we're here, there's not going to be any tornado. And he was right. It just passed over. It just fell apart. But I wasn't there yet. I was ready to go in the freezer, I'll tell you what. But now I've grown, I guess mostly since I've been on my own now. I've had to stand up against a lot of things, a lot of pressure. A lot of things will try to come against you. But the knowledge of this is a wonderful scripture. Greater is he that is in me. So we're looking for great and mighty things, and it's the simple things that are going to put us over. You know, your boss calls you in, and maybe somebody says something, or you think, oh, man, what's happening? You just remember that scripture. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No matter what comes our way, God is greater than it. Greater, greater, much, much greater. There's nothing you can face that God doesn't already have the answer for it. Isn't that fantastic? And as you go over and over that, get yourself built up for it. You start to believe it. And then you start telling other people, and they say, you know, this has happened and that's happened. And you say, don't worry. God's going to take care of you. And you say it with such assurance that people start believing you. Really? Yes. God is on our side. And it was such a comfort to know that, you know, God already knew that Dave was going to pass away. And he had everything in line. His company just gave him like $1 million worth of insurance. Increased life insurance. Everything was just right in line and has been. Can I say it's easy? No, I don't want to leave that impression that it's just been a cakewalk. I've had to really stand up. But God has pulled us through every time. And he will you too. Say that with me. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as you think about it, as you meditate on it, you think of each word Don't just puff it out. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You have God's little children. You know how many more minutes do I have to say these? Just like you're pump, pump, pump. You're not pumping this out or pounding it out. We are making declarations into the universe. Greater, much greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You, Satan, are defeated foe. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. Wow. Powerful stuff. Let's look at the next one. Keeps you from attacks. Oh, I can just spend the whole, I could spend a whole week on that. But we're not going to do that. Praise God. Let me get my sheet here. Number two is 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let's look at there quickly and then we will. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Hallelujah. And this one we kind of talked about before. Now, is there anybody here that you say these scriptures on a regular basis? Just curious. Off and on, yeah. See, that's kind of the way I was too, and that's how I got into that. But if you, it's like canning peaches. You just get everything into your heart, and then when you need it, it's there. If you wait until you need it, then it, oftentimes this is where you get into trouble. So don't wait till you're sick to start to confess healing scriptures. Say them now. Don't wait until you, hey, our bills are okay. No, just confess that now. That God supplies all of our needs. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in us. And the Amplified says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are a sweet fragrance of Christ. I love that. And look what it says here in the Message Bible. It says, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Here you are, more than a conqueror. He gives you the victory, Romans 8:37 and 1 Corinthians 15:57. No, for sake of time, I won't go over there tonight, but I gave these to you so that you could study them and make notes on here. He's given you the victory, and he's leading you around to show everybody what he's going to do and how he can make something out of your life. A sweet fragrance. Isn't it great when somebody walks in and they have like nice cologne or they, you know, I love that. And they just walk in the room. And that's the way you are to other people. You walk in and they think, wow. They don't even know what's happening, but the Spirit emanating out of you as God leads you around during the day. It's just touching everybody around you. If you work in an office, I worked offices for a long time, and people will start to use bad language and they'll just say, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And you didn't say a word. It's just what comes off of us as we walk in victory. Too many times, you know, people say, I'm a spirit-filled Christian. It's tough, but, you know, somebody's got to do it. God help us. I'm a Christian, but I don't know. Things aren't going too good. And all they do is just talk about everything that's going wrong. I'm not going to go there. Not going to go there. But God wants that sweet fragrance to come out of us, right? I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved us. I always win. It's my bat. It's my ball. It's my game. And we play until I win this thing. We play until I get my car that I'm confessing. My new car. We play until I get the money that I've asked the Lord for. If you just don't quit, you'll get what's coming to you. It's when we quit, we stop believing, then everything shuts down. But you just keep believing. Keep thanking. Thank you, Lord, you've given me the victory. You know, as a minister, oftentimes, you know, I'll have words for people. And I noticed that when I started giving people a word, like if I have healing lines, the whole line will stop. They won't go down. They don't receive anymore because they want you to, you know, bring a word forth. And I don't mind that. I understand that. But as we grow up, we realize we don't need somebody to give us a word. Now, it's nice to have. You know, Shelley's mom, she didn't. Like, she said, I didn't see that coming. She wasn't, you know, expecting it. A lot of times people do. Like, that's their only way to hear from the Lord. Is if they come to a meeting and somebody prophesies, they can't hear themselves. They don't have confidence. But I say, you know, they'll say, I don't know how this is going to turn out, you know. This is bad or this is wrong. And say, I can tell you how it's going to turn out. You're going to win. My mind will say to me, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out. I know how it's going to work out. I'm going to win. And we're going to play until I do win. And I'm going to have the victory. It's a strong stand to take. But God's just sitting there and say, praise God. Just look at them. He loves it when we believe him. I mean, he absolutely, I think he, it's like his favorite thing. As we say, God's going to do it. God's going to build this church. I mean, there is no doubt. Is this church going to grow? Yes. Is there people going to come? Yes. Because we're believing it. You know, are things going to go well for us? Are we going to live long? Or are we going to die like my uncle did? No. We can circumvent even genes. I mean, surely we can't say, well, God will heal us except if it's genetic. If it's genetic, then I'm sorry. God can't heal you. Right? Now, you may be tended that way, and you may have to change your lifestyle. You might have to watch what you eat and have a good diet and walk and do all those things to prevent you from getting those things. In the natural, you can't just go and eat whatever you want and do whatever you want. You reap what you sow. So you change, you line up in the natural, and then you just think, well, Lord, of course, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I'm going to be here as long as I desire. Wow. What a God. What a word. What a word we have. What a life. I mean, we should be running around the building. We should be running around out on the street. This is such good news. Praise God. But it's going to come to you with a little bit of work. It's going to take a little bit of work. God does all the big part. All you have to do is take some time to meditate.
and say these scriptures, speak them out. That will be your job. Get the word in your heart. And then that'll change.
Praise God.